You're listening to the Hog Sports Network Daily Podcast. Now, here's your host, Matt Jones.
Hey, happy Halloween to you. We appreciate you being with us. Hope you have a great, enjoyable, safe Halloween day here. We've got a lot of Razorback football discussion to get to today. Chip Souza will be in studio with me a little bit later as we talk about Arkansas and Ole Miss Saturday, 11 a.m. kickoff on ESPN. But we begin today with Richard Gross, longtime sports radio host down in Mississippi, host Sports Talk Mississippi for Super Talk Mississippi Radio. Richard, appreciate you being here.
Matt, always good to be with you. Kind of a game with some more intrigue this weekend than we might would have thought a few weeks ago, certainly a couple of months ago.
Yeah, for sure. Both of these teams, it seems like it's been a little bit different season than maybe both of them have expected at this point. You know, yeah. You by having a talk show, you've got your finger on the pulse down there in Mississippi. What's the feeling this week about this Ole Miss-Arkansas game?
Trepidation, I think, is the right word, and it's because of the way the season has played out. I mean, you know, in the grand scheme of things, Ole Miss has two losses by a total of 6 points. One of them was overtime in Tiger Stadium. I honestly think people could live with that if it were not for the Kentucky game. But if you want to use the poker analogy, this was a season where Ole Miss pushed all of its chips into the middle of the table and said, all right, let's play. And nobody anticipated that there were going to be two losses, with one of them to Kentucky at this point of the season. And so there's that. But the trepidation, I think, comes from two things. One, this series that has been crazy. It has produced games with outcomes that you know, maybe neither side anticipated or expected. No success in Fayetteville. I mean, Ole Miss has not won in Fayetteville since 2008. They've got two wins at Little Rock along the way. But, I mean, if you need a reminder of what 2008 was, that was Houston Nutt's first year at Ole Miss returning to Fayetteville with Bobby Petrino as the head coach in his first year. I mean, that feels like a long time ago. We were in the middle of a presidential campaign with John McCain running against Barack Obama for the first time. A lot has happened since the last time Ole Miss won in Fayetteville. And then if there's a third thing, it's just the fact that the offense has not been what people thought it was going to be for Ole Miss this year. It was certainly explosive and put up ridiculous numbers in those first four non-conference games, but we all know that the competition was not very good in those first four games as well. And in league play, it's been disappointing.
The Kentucky loss, I think, is the worst loss for an SEC team this year. When you look at the expectations for Ole Miss and when you look at what Kentucky's done since then, for Ole Miss, was it a byproduct or just a bad day? Or do you think maybe that was a warning sign that things weren't maybe what people thought they were?
Maybe a little bit of both. Kentucky played really well that day. And I know you look at this Kentucky team and you're like, hey, that's a bad football team. And I agree. They are not a good football team right now. They do have talent on the defensive line. They were coming off kind of a confidence building performance against Georgia before the Ole Miss game. Deion Walker in the middle of that defensive line was a beast. Berrian Brown and Dane Key had, I think, their best games of the entire season. And Brock Vandegrift looked like a pretty competent quarterback that day. And you add to that, you know, Ole Miss misses a field goal at the end that would have sent it to overtime with a kicker that, you know, from 47 yards, you kind of expect him to make that. You had a couple of bad penalties. You give up the big play where Dane Key makes the big catch down the sideline. And Ole Miss was, in terms of a game plan, it was not good at all that day. So you asked should we have expected more? Should we have, you know, seen that was a sign of things to come? Yes, at least from the standpoint of an inability to effectively run the ball against a pretty good defensive line. That was the day that I think Ole Miss looked up and like, golly, Quinshon Judkins spent a lot. Mm-hmm. I understand the reasons that he moved on. There's a lot that was going on behind the scenes there, but you look at that and you're like, are you sure there wasn't a way to get that worked out and just figure out a way for everybody to move forward, to smooth things over in the locker room, get everybody on the same page? Because he was, for Ole Miss, a generational talent at running back. He was you know, doing things that hadn't been done since Herschel Walker was in the SEC, especially with that freshman season that he put up. So, you know, you're looking at Henry Parrish Jr., who is good but not great. You know, whatever it was, is, that has gone on behind the scenes with Ulysses Bentley that has caused him to be pushed kind of out of the mix and still really doesn't make sense. But the running game, and then the third piece of that is Ole Miss has chosen not to run Jackson Dart as much this season. That's the thing that I am most interested in down the stretch. In these final four games, Ole Miss was at its best a year ago when Jackson Dart was part of the running game through read options, and kind of putting a defense in a spot where it had to make a decision. And so, you know, those things, I think, kind of all add up to this offense that has been less effective. And then you add in the injury that Trey Harris has had, him not being on the field. I mean, he's, I would argue, the best wide receiver in the SEC. I know Luther Burton and maybe a couple of other guys would have an argument there as well. But him not being available, you know, last week, even in a win, and very questionable for this weekend, it changes who Ole Miss is offensively.
12-team playoff, good two-loss teams still going to be in contention to make the playoff. Ole Miss, yeah, has got to be perfect down the stretch here.
Yep.
But what kind of chances do you give them to make the playoff?
I mean, I think it's a long shot, but it's not impossible. Obviously, that starts with figuring out a way to get a win in Fayetteville. And it doesn't matter if it's by one or if it's by 100. It's like, okay, did you win or did you lose? And if you win, then you set up a massive game against Georgia. If you think back to that game a year ago, that was about as lopsided as it could be at the line of scrimmage. Georgia was dominant in that game against Ole Miss. And you guys have probably talked about it somewhere along the way. That was where Lane Kiffin was, you know, about as candid as he has been at any point in time that he's been the head coach at Ole Miss, where he says, this is not a one or two plays is the difference in the game. This is a they were different on the line of scrimmage than we are. And then they spent the entire offseason trying to build a line of scrimmage on both sides of the ball, and they did it on defense that was comparable to what a Georgia or an Alabama or a good LSU looked like. That they achieved that on the defense side. They have been elite and maybe have been better than people even thought they were going to be. The additions on the offensive line have not worked well. They've had some injury issues up front, and, you know, I mean, they haven't been as good as they wanted to be on the offensive line. So, yeah, if Ole Miss can find a way to win against Arkansas, then it sets up a really fascinating game against the Georgia team that has not been as dominant as it was a year ago, has had Carson Beck turning the football over in a way that I don't think anybody expected to see this season. But the question for me is, okay, how does Ole Miss approach that? Is that you are tighter than you have ever been because you know how high the stakes are? Or do you say, you know, let's go out and have fun. Just let it all hang out. Let's go play the best game we can and see if we're good enough to win. And if they do that, okay, everybody look out, because it's going to be a fun finish of the season with Florida and Mississippi State. And if they don't, how deflating is that, and where does this thing finish up? You know, going back to what I said earlier about, you know, Chips being all in, nobody at Ole Miss shied away from that. Lane Kiffin didn't shy away from it. The team didn't shy away from it. Fan base didn't shy away from it. Athletics director didn't shy away from it. Everybody was kind of looking at this as, hey, this is what Ole Miss has been building toward. It's what they've been building for. Here's the opportunity. Go take advantage of it. And if that doesn't happen, it doesn't mean it was a terrible season, but it will have been a disappointing season.
Shifting gears to the other SEC team in your state, Arkansas went down to Starkville last week and just annihilated Mississippi State. That looks like an 0-8 SEC team to me. Awful on defense. One of the worst SEC defenses I think I've ever seen. How did it get this bad at Mississippi State?
On the defensive side, that's a good question, because there were a lot of questions about them defensively a year ago, especially early in the season. They kind of found something, right? And they ended up playing pretty good defense with Zach Arnett. You know, where they are as a team, I think, is kind of a result of the constant turnover. So you go from Joe Moorhead to Mike Leach to Zach Arnett to now Levy, and there have been some pretty significant philosophical changes on what they are going to be offensively. I don't think offense is a problem right now. I mean, they had some – Mississippi State had some self-inflicted errors last week that make the score of that game a little bit different. I'm not sure it changes the outcome ultimately of the game, but the score looks different than it did. The turnovers were a problem. But defensively, it's a personnel thing, and I think it's hard for Mississippi State fans right now because, you know, regardless of what they were offensively, they had some dudes on the defensive line. And, I mean, you're talking like elite guys on the defensive line, like mm-hmm. Montez Sweat, who's a stud in the NFL, and Jeff Simmons, who's a stud in the NFL, and, you know, Chris Jones and Fletcher Cox before that. I mean, you're talking about all-pro NFL defensive linemen. And then good players, you know, at the linebacker position. To me, the biggest difference in what they were a year ago to what they are right now is the fact that they lost two linebackers that combined for like 250 tackles last year. But it's everything, right? I mean, they've got a first-year ever play caller in Coleman Hutzler on the defensive side. The talent level is multiple steps below anywhere it's been in the last, I don't know, decade and a half. And they're not making tackles. It's missed assignments. It's missed opportunities. It's just about everything that could go wrong on the defensive side has gone wrong. It starts with talent. My co-host on the radio, Brian Haydad, says, yes, there is a talent deficiency, but mm-hmm. there's not that much of a talent deficiency to see them not only at the bottom of the SEC, but at the bottom of the FBS in basically every major defensive statistical category.
I want to ask you about Hugh Freeze. You covered him. He's at Auburn now. I thought he'd be winning bigger than he is. But what's your take on what's going on there? And you know, we know Auburn, they like to cut bait pretty quick. How much time do you think he gets there?
I'm going to be very careful with how I answer this. I think Hugh Freeze is a good football coach. I think he has been a pretty good offensive mind. They clearly are recruiting at the high school level well. They've not been great in the portal. I guess they had the one wide receiver that was a portal pickup that has been probably their most consistent player. The route that they went at quarterback is still baffling. To say that, you know, we don't know if it makes sense to go out and spend $1 million at quarterback in the portal when are we sure that's going to be better than what we've got? Well, that's not how the portal works. I mean, you got to take some risks in there. And I feel like most everybody else looked at Peyton Thorne and like, he's fine, but you're not winning big with that guy. And they chose to sit that out. You know, they picked up Deuce Knight, who's a Mississippi kid, as a commitment for next year. But what does that mean next year? You're going to run out of a freshman, true freshman in the SEC and expect to have great results, vastly different results. I still don't think they've kind of figured out the who's calling plays. Is it Hugh Freeze? Is it Derek Nix, who they brought in from Ole Miss in the offseason? Defensively, it feels like they're kind of waiting for the other shoe to drop. Like they played pretty well, and then there's a bad mistake. And whether that comes on the defensive side or the offensive side, to me, the key for Auburn down the stretch is what they got last week. I mean, it's Jarquez Hunter, who is, you know, maybe the best running back in the SEC. You got to just feed it to him and lean on him and lean on him and see what you can get down the stretch. I don't think it's a very good football team. I don't think they're a very well coached football team. I have no idea what the locker room is like internally. Mm-hmm. You know, when Hugh Freeze was at Ole Miss, locker room was really good right up until the point that it wasn't. And then it got really bad in a hurry. So, you know, some of that is personality driven. Some of that is philosophy driven, kind of with Hugh Freeze and what he believes in. To your larger question, how long does he get? Yeah, Auburn pretty famously doesn't put up with a lot. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, let's say they lose to Vanderbilt this week. That probably doesn't sit well, but it is a better Vanderbilt football team. What's the non-conference game they've got remaining?
Oh, I'm not sure.
I just don't have the scheduling.
I know they play Alabama at the end, though.
Yeah. I've obviously got that one at the end as well. So, I don't think they make a change. I do think that John Cohen, whether he's the best athletics director or not, recognizes that you can't do this, change football coaches every 2 years and expect to dig your football team out of a hole. So we'll see where it goes long term.
Auburn's remaining schedule: Vanderbilt at home, Louisiana Monroe at home, A&M at home, and then at Alabama in the Iron Bowl. Hey, let's get you out of here on this. It's never too early to talk SEC baseball. I know you do a lot of stuff with Mike Bianco, Chris Lemonis. What's the outlook or the outlook like this year for those teams?
Boy, what a turn that's been over the last couple of years to go from, you know, back to back national championships with Mississippi State in 21 and Ole Miss in 22 to, you know, trying to make the SEC tournament. Two very passionate fan bases. The results are, you know, the expectation for results is really high among both fan bases. And it's high because, and in the same way it is at Arkansas, because both programs have invested at a top five level nationally. Not top 10, not top 25, top five. Facilities, crowds, coach salaries, you know, all the resources needed. This is, I think it's a big year for both. Obviously, Mississippi State gets back to the tournament last year. You know, they don't win the regional in Charlottesville. But for Ole Miss, you know, you missed this thing a couple of years in a row. They have not invested in the way that they have invested for Swayze Field to sit empty in June. And the crazy thing, Ole Miss hasn't hosted a super regional since 2014, 2015. Wow. Like there have been a couple of regionals mixed in, but in terms of a super regional, it's been a long time since they've hosted one. I do think there's some significant pressure. They ended up, you know, lost some pretty significant guys in the portal, including Andrew Fisher, who was their best offensive player. He goes to Tennessee. Liam Doyle goes to Tennessee, who ended up being the best pitcher that they had. It was a, you know, both of those were transfer portal guys that were there for a year. Got some wins in terms of who's coming back from a pitching staff standpoint. This is a big year. It's an important year for Mike Bianco and this Ole Miss team. They got to get back to the postseason, and hosting in the postseason would be a really good idea as well.
The tough thing in SEC baseball, and you know this, Richard, is that
no doubt
everybody. There were teams that were competing or spending at top five levels, like you said. Now you got like 12 teams that are trying to spend at a top five level, and somebody's got to lose. It's a tough league in baseball.
Yeah.
Maybe tougher in baseball than any other sport.
Yeah, I would say the only other sport that is more difficult than baseball is softball. When you look at the years that you've had, every team in the SEC, I guess Vanderbilt doesn't have a team, so you had 13 to 14 softball teams that made it to the postseason. And now, oh, by the way, you've added Texas and Oklahoma.
Yep.
Good luck with that. But, no, I completely agree. And it's across the board, right? I mean, it's Tennessee. You've seen what they're doing to their ballpark. It's Kentucky who's built a new ballpark. And Nick Mangione gets it rolling. Florida's got a new ballpark. Arkansas's facility's great. Ole Miss's is great. Oklahoma's about to build a new facility. I don't know why Texas doesn't have natural grass on their baseball field in Austin, Texas. What are we doing?
It's like to be hot.
Obviously, Texas has been one of the elite programs in the history of college baseball, and I guess I didn't even mention LSU.
Didn't mention A&M. I mean, it's just Didn't mention Vanderbilt. I mean, it's amazing. It's amazing what SEC baseball has become. Richard, we appreciate your time. You've been great with your time.
Matt, thanks so much. Always a pleasure, and hope it's a fun game for everybody this week.
All right, we'll see you soon. Richard Cross from Super Talk Mississippi. When we come back, Chip Souza will be in studio with us, but first, a word from our sponsors.
Want to enjoy your life again? Burning, numbness, and general pain in your feet and legs might be keeping you from your daily activities. Neuropathy treatment can be effective to restoring your life. Come see what we can do at Enhanced Healthcare Wellness Institute in Uptown Rogers. We can treat your neuropathy pain and get you back in the game of life. Enhanced Healthcare Wellness Institute is located at 5102 West Pauline Whitaker Parkway in Uptown Rogers.
At Kendall King, we're proud of over four decades of design. We're continuing the legacy of great creative design by combining our brands of Kendall King, Soapbox, and ShopCart. Together, these brands represent a new focus in marketing design with individual attention to specific areas. Through our design expertise supported by a team of talented professionals, we showcase our best. We are Kendall King, we are Soapbox, we are ShopCart, we are design.
Hey, welcome back. We want to tell you about our friends at Enhanced Healthcare Wellness Institute. They are your source for holistic wellness and your healthy lifestyle changes. Located in Uptown Rogers, the staff at Enhanced Healthcare will target your specific health plan for wellness, from neuropathy treatment, primary care, weight loss, and so much more. You can count on the experts at Enhanced Healthcare Wellness Institute in Rogers. Chip Souza with me now. We'll kind of go over some headlines. A lot of interesting things happening just across the board over on campus right now. We begin with the availability report that came out last night. And the big story, Chip, is that Jaquindon Jackson is listed as out for this game. Sam Pittman said earlier in the week that he was pretty doubtful for it, but they think they'll have him back for the last three games. Arkansas going into one of the biggest games of the year, though, without one of its best players.
Well, it sounds like they have a plan for him to set this one out, which is probably the best thing they could do because that ankle, you know, anytime you're dealing with an ankle injury, if you can get more rest on it, obviously he's got a better chance to heal. So they set him out this week. They get the bye the week after that, so that, you know, 2 weeks of rest and that kind of thing, and he should be good to go the final three games of the season.
Some other notables here for Arkansas, and these aren't surprising. Jalen Braxton is out. You know, we don't expect him back until after the bye week. That's based on what Pittman has said previously. Kyle Ramsey, the kicker, he's still out with a groin injury. But the way Matthew Sipley's kicked the last couple of weeks, I don't know that that's that big of a loss.
It might be a plus. He was 3 for 3, last week.
So. I hate to say it that way, but the point being, I feel like Shipley has taken the starting role and run with it.
Yeah, they both struggled in the spring, but Shipley's got. We've talked about this, Matt, a couple weeks ago. He's got the cred behind him, having kicked some clutch field goals, and I think they have to feel pretty good about it.
Rodney Hill, the running back, probable after his MCL injury that he suffered against Texas A&M back in September. So it looks like they're going to have him to be part of that running back stable with Braylon Russell and with Rashad DeBinion.
Right, and I think they'll be okay with those three. I the few opportunities that Hill has gotten, I really like the way he runs. He's actually got some waggle to him, and looks, you know, he's got, I think, more game-breaking ability there. And, you know, Braylon is that hammer, that 255-pound hammer that they're going to use. And, Matt, if we get the kind of weather Saturday that's in the forecast where they're calling for rain, that suits Braylon Russell. Yeah, very, very well, yeah.
Ole Miss, they've got a pretty long list here. Some of them are players who have been out all year or most of the year. The notable one is Trey Harris, the
huge
SEC's leading receiver. Yeah. He's listed as questionable. We think that's a hip injury that he's dealing with. Matt Jones, a running back for them, he's had he's one of their more used backs. He's listed as questionable. Lots of questionables on there. One that also caught my eye is Caden Prescorn, their tight end, who had a big game against OU last week, listed as probable.
Well, and I think Walter Nolan's kind of dinged up a little bit too. Their defensive lineman.
Tackle listed as probable.
Man, if he doesn't go, that's, in my opinion, that may be the biggest one that they would have that would be out.
But he is listed as probable. So the expectation is that I think the expectation is he'll probably go. You can read about all the availability report. It's on the front page of our website right now.
I wonder if the hip injury that the Harris has is the same one that Sam Pittman has.
probably a little bit different. Hologsports.com, you can read the full availability report. Ty Washington, who is the tight end who was dismissed from the team within the last week, he was on DJ Williams' 4th and 5 podcast yesterday and spoke pretty openly about his side of the story. There's two sides to every story, obviously, but his side of the story about why he was dismissed from Arkansas's football team. You boil down a 30-minute podcast. Basically, he essentially said he was dealing with some mental health issues, some personal problems. I think he said that he had a family member who was going into hospice care that had him shaken up. And when he was told to go into the game against Mississippi State, he chose not to.
Well, and, you know, mental health is something that a lot of people don't really take that seriously when it comes to athletes. We think they have so much given to them, and they should just be thankful of where they're at and thankful they get a scholarship, and they don't understand that there's a lot more to this. I remember, Matt, if you remember last January, I went down to Memphis and interviewed Shante Stutz, whose son Dion was killed in that accident. one of the main reasons that she wanted him and blessed his decision to come to Arkansas was that Arkansas had three or maybe at that time four full-time staffers who that was part of their job is helping players with that. And that was a big thing for her. She was a school counselor, been a school counselor for a lot of years. And she said, I felt safe with Deion, you know, going to Arkansas because I feel like they put a premium on that when a lot of colleges were not doing that.
He also said he'd been frustrated with playing time in recent weeks. Well, so,
and I think that's the main thing.
And again, this is one side of the story. I doubt we're going to hear Sam Pittman give his side of things.
I think
just kind of 5 years of covering him and observing how he does things, he's going to say he's gone.
We're moving on. Yeah, we're moving on. Yeah.
SEC coaches. Now, the AP team had already come out. The SEC coaches announced their preseason all-SEC basketball team yesterday. A couple of Razorbacks on this. You had Jonas Adu on the second team, Jonnell Davis on the second team. A couple of former Razorbacks on this list, too. Tramon Mark, who's now at Texas.
Yep.
He's listed on there, as well as Jackson Robinson, who is now at Kentucky. Preseason Player of the Year, Mark Sears from Alabama. No surprise there. The first team is Sears, Johnny Broome at Auburn, Walter Clayton Jr. at Florida, Zakai Ziegler at Tennessee, and Wade Taylor at Texas A&M.
I'm not hearing Boogie Flan's name mentioned in there, and I got a feeling by the time this season ends, he's going to be in that mix.
He might be. Might be definitely one of the best freshmen in the SEC. You know, we're, what, 6 days removed now from what they did against Kansas, and the more I think about the performance that he had that night, just, you know, I know Kansas was missing some pieces, some perimeter defenders, but still, I just feel like a very solid, impressive performance for him the first time that he goes out with the lights on.
Do you remember Courtney Fortson
when
he played here? He's got a kind
of
that
same Courtney Fortson.
Game. That's what he reminded me
of. A lot better than Courtney Fortson.
Yeah, but a lot better shooter. Now, Fortson was good at getting to the bucket and drawing fouls, things like that, but he's got a lot of that same kind of look to him.
I think he's going to be really good. Seth Greenberg had some great thoughts about him on our podcast on Tuesday. If you want to go back and find that, I would encourage you to listen to what Seth Greenberg had to say about not just Boogie Flan, but about DJ Wagner and several of the Razorbacks who he saw in that game against Kansas a week ago. Baseball news. Arkansas and Texas. The schedule has been changed, and Arkansas is now going to play Texas at Baum Walker Stadium beginning on a Thursday in May. This is for TV purposes. Now, the actual TV the designations haven't been made, but typically what happens is the SEC, they will put a schedule out, then they'll come along maybe a month or two later, and they'll say, hey, that looks like an attractive series, that looks like an attractive series, and they'll usually take a couple of series each week and move them to a Thursday start. SEC Network will televise one, maybe ESPN, ESPN2, ESPNU, someone like that, they'll televise another. So Arkansas, Texas is going to begin on Thursday, May 1st through 3rd at Baum Walker Stadium. And something that really jumped out to me, Chip, is that Arkansas's three most prominent home series next year, Texas A&M, Texas, and Tennessee, are all going to be Thursday, Friday, Saturday series.
Well, and they're all going to
be.
And
that's unfortunate.
Yeah. And it is. And that will affect that Thursday crowd, or will it? Will it? I mean,
it affects it. You know, and it does two things. Number one, assuming that they stay on the same pitching rotation, your best guys pitch on Thursday now in front of smaller crowds.
So one day less of rest too, coming off that previous series.
Depending on what the weekend before looked like Arkansas had three series last year, back to back to back, that were Thursday, Friday, Saturday. So, you know, there were a couple of those Thursday starts where Hagan Smith was actually coming in on a full week's rest.
Right.
But it's unfortunate. And I understand, you know, A&M, it's Easter weekend. You'd much rather play on Thursday than on Sunday. I've been to Easter Sunday games. They just don't get well attended.
Yeah.
Tennessee, it's the last regular season series of the year. That's always going to be a Thursday, Friday, Saturday because They want to give the teams an extra day of rest before they go down to Hoover for the tournament.
Right.
But it's unfortunate that it's not just the fact that it's three series, but it's three home series, and it's the three biggest home series, it feels like. The three final home series, when the weather probably is going to be the most cooperative, those are the ones that I get that get the Thursday, Friday, Saturday designation.
I haven't looked at the schedule, the whole SEC baseball schedule, but I'm wondering, does Texas go to Texas A&M this year?
No, A&M goes to Austin.
Oh, that's a shame because that would be such a great series to go to.
Oh, I know.
With Schlossnagel coming in back to College
Trust
Station.
Trust me, I think they wish they could get that one in College Station.
Oh, man, that would be great. Now,
Texas football goes to Kyle Field.
They do.
Now,
yeah,
I know we're talking about two different things here, but no, they've got to wait an extra year for Schlossnagel to make his return to Bluebell Park. But Arkansas, Texas, May 1st now through 3rd. That's a Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Will be a baseball series at Baumwalker Stadium, so make sure that you set your schedule appropriately. People say, "Hey, that's so far out. Why are we even?" Because people travel for these, and it's a big deal when you get a Thursday start instead of a Friday start, because people got to start switching around their hotel rooms.
That means, Matt, on that Thursday night they'll only have 8,000 or 9,000 instead of 12,000.
I mean, they may have a full ballpark depending on what the weather's like and how things are going. But I love the Friday, Saturday, Sunday concept.
Yeah,
just it's unfortunate that one starts on Thursday. A couple other really quick notes. SEC cross country meet will be Friday in College Station. I think the women start at 9:15, the men at 10 a.m. Down at the Aggies home park. The men are the favorite. It would be a surprise if Arkansas's women won. They are down this year from a distance standpoint. I don't know that a lot of people realize this. Lance Harder's coaching the Razorback cross country team this year. Megan Elliott, who had been their distance coach, Chris Johnson's the head coach of all the programs. But what changed when Harder retired as a full time, he stayed on as a even last year he was
advisor.
No, not an advisor, like a volunteer coach. That would be the right. He was volunteering and helping out the distance runners. Megan Elliott resigned before the season. She went to Nebraska to be their cross country coach, and so Lance has stepped in and helped with the distance runners. They do get Sydney Thorvaldsen back for this race. She's an All American. She's a senior. She's been out with a foot injury to this point this year. I think we may be seeing, and maybe I'm totally off base here. You got a new head coach in charge of the whole program. I think we might be seeing here in the next couple of years maybe a move away from some of the scholarship money toward distance runners and more toward sprinters, jumpers, that type of deal. We'll see. Hurdlers.
Interesting.
It's just we've become so accustomed to Arkansas track seeing it one way, and now you've got a new form of leadership. And Chris Johnson did a great job last year. He won two national championships. But you might just see a different allocation in what they want to emphasize.
Be interesting, too, the weather down at College Station, which can be brutally hot and humid with this cool front that's moved through. Hopefully it gives them a little bit cooler weather to run in.
Two more quick notes. Arkansas Gymnastics moving to Bud Walton Arena full-time for the 2025 season. This has been something that's been in the works for a while. They've gone over to Bud Walton, and they've had some meets in the past few years. That's going to be a full-time move. They're moving away from Barnhill Arena. They've got 5 meets scheduled at Bud Walton in 2025. You can read more about that at our website. And one other one, soccer, SEC soccer bracket set. This is going to be down in Pensacola, the tournament next week. Arkansas, the number 2 seed. Razorbacks will play either Georgia or Texas A&M on Tuesday at 11:30 a.m. in Pensacola. Razorbacks didn't play Georgia during the regular season, and, of course, they tied A&M in that controversial goal that was disallowed in a nothing-nothing contest in Fayetteville last week. So either Georgia or Texas A&M up first for Arkansas soccer. They've had so many close calls in the SEC tournament. They've gotten to the championship game so many times, and we've talked about this with soccer people in this program, that the format of the SEC tournament is not really advantageous to a team like Arkansas that's so aggressive and runs so much, where you got to play 3 games in 6 days. All of that said, they got their SEC regular season crown taken away this year. I'm sure they would love nothing more than to try to get it back in Pensacola at the tournament.
Now, I'll volunteer to go down and cover that if we need it. I'd be a team player on this.
We'll fire up the private jet and send you down. Tuesday. In Pensacola. When we come back, we got a lot of Razorback football discussion to get to, but first a word from our sponsors.
Want to enjoy your life again? Burning, numbness, and general pain in your feet and legs might be keeping you from your daily activities. Neuropathy treatment can be effective to restoring your life. Come see what we can do at Enhanced Healthcare Wellness Institute in Uptown Rogers. We can treat your neuropathy pain and get you back in the game of life. Enhanced Healthcare Wellness Institute is located at 5102 West Pauline Whitaker Parkway in Uptown Rogers.
At Kendall King, we're proud of over 4 decades of design. We're continuing the legacy of great creative design by combining our brands of Kendall King, Soapbox, and ShopCart. Together, these brands represent a new focus in marketing design with individual attention to specific areas. Through our design expertise supported by a team of talented professionals, we showcase our best. We are Kendall King, we are Soapbox, we are ShopCart, we are design.
Hey, welcome back. We want to tell you about our friends at Bentonville Glass. They are committed, professional, and versatile, and they've been serving their community since 1971. If you're looking for a quality leader in Northwest Arkansas or looking for skilled craftsmanship, look no further than Bentonville Glass for all your glass market needs with the highest quality products. You can come by and see them right now at 507 South Main in Bentonville or online at BentonvilleGlass.com. I want to tell you that today Mike Nabors is speaking at the Hogs Illustrated Sports Club. If you want to hear what he has to say, go to our YouTube page. We'll have a full video from his time there. Ethan Westerman, who covers women's basketball, does a great job for us. He'll be conducting that Q&A. So you'll be able to find that on our YouTube page, Whole Hog Sports, probably mid-afternoon. I would assume you'll hear from Mike Nabors. They've got their season opener next Monday at Bud Walton Arena. Arkansas and Ole Miss this weekend, 11 a.m. kickoff on ESPN Saturday morning. Chip, you touched on it a minute ago. It looks like it's going to be a rain game. And I know I've mentioned this before this week. It just seems like every time, not every time, but a lot of times when Arkansas and Ole Miss get together in Fayetteville or even Little Rock, weather plays a huge factor in the game, whether it's rain, whether it's bitter cold temperatures. I think about I mentioned this yesterday, the Matt Corral game. In 2020 when he threw 6 interceptions. Yep. I think the wind was blowing like 30, 35 miles an hour that day and affected the passing game.
I think Hudson Clark was his favorite receiver.
He was. He had 3 catches, three picks. Weather is there's something about Ole Miss playing here in Fayetteville where they don't play well, in the first place. And then, maybe the weather has something to do with that. I don't know. But rain game? That has a tendency to maybe level the playing field a little bit.
Well, the one thing that you can always expect when Arkansas and Ole Miss play is you can't expect anything. You can expect the unexpected.
Yeah, that's right.
Weird things happen when these teams play. First and foremost among those, probably the was it Hudson Henry, the overhead back?
Oh, yeah. Fourth 20 and 25 yard to Alex Collins.
Pass back over his head or whatever. Expect the unexpected. I think weather could be the great equalizer in this game.
Lane Kiffin had some comments earlier this week where, I think it was on the teleconference Wednesday, he praised Arkansas for sticking with Sam Pittman. You know, they came in together, and everybody knows Lane Kiffin was a candidate at Arkansas when Pittman ultimately got the job. But basically what he said was, hey, they went 4-8 last year. Arkansas easily could have cut bait, and we'll see how this season turns out. But to start out 5-3, 3-2 in the SEC after having the type of season that they had last year, I don't know that Arkansas football is where people want it to be. I know it's not where people want it to be. I know it's not where Sam Pittman wants it to be.
Right.
But to have some measure of a bounce back season, they're going to a bowl game this year. I don't think we have any doubt about that. After the type of season that they had last year when it could have gone the other way, this is basically what Lane Kiffin is saying. Hey, kudos to Arkansas for showing some patience, and then it's paying off.
Absolutely. And, they're 5-3. They could be, with a play or two here or there, could be 7-1.
Yeah.
You're going to look back.
Ole Miss could be undefeated.
Ole Miss could be undefeated. So, woulda, coulda, shoulda, is something that a lot of coaches will say. And but here's where they are. They've got a big win against a top five team on their resume, got an opportunity to do that a couple of more times this year. How will that season play out if they beat Ole Miss Saturday? How will it play out if they beat Texas in a couple of weeks? Season looks a whole lot better if you get those two wins.
It's interesting how this series has gone the past 5 years. The home team has won each year, beginning with Chad Morris's final year at Arkansas. Ole Miss won there in Oxford. And then Pittman and Kiffin, the winner has been the team at home.
Yeah. And, you know, I think what is Arkansas has pretty much dominated Ole Miss at home over the years in this long, you know, this long-standing.
Ole Miss has only won two times in Fayetteville, and they haven't won since Houston Nutt's first year.
Well, there you go. There you go.
Houston Nutt's first year at Ole Miss.
So you're saying they have a chance?
I think they've always got a chance. I think, hey, look, I think Ole Miss is a really good team.
Yeah, I think so, too. And I Matt, we said this the other day. Ole Miss might be the best team of the Final Four on this schedule.
Has this changed your perception? Because you were on here 2-3 weeks ago after that LSU-Ole Miss game. And I think you said something to the effect of you didn't know if either of them were that good.
Right.
And I told you that I thought both of them were really good football teams. And I still feel that way. I know what LSU did against A&M at Kyle Field the other day. But – it just feels like Ole Miss, and you can talk about, you know, this play could have gone this way, this play could have. Look, I trust these efficiency ratings that I have, and it says that they are the best team in the SEC. Basically, what that means is that in any SEC game that they play, they're going to be favored right now based on the metrics. I think they're a really good team who has a very bad loss to Kentucky and lost a game in Death Valley at night that, you know, there's no shame in that.
Something that Ole Miss doesn't do, in my opinion, all that well, they're okay at it. Something LSU also doesn't do all that well, they're okay at it, is running the football. And I still feel like and I'm old school, and I still feel like the run game is very, very important to have sustained success at home and on the road. A good run game travels. Sometimes your pass-oriented games – don't travel as well, depending on weather conditions, depending on other things. But if you can run the football effectively, I think you have a chance, and that makes you a better team. That's where Arkansas struggled in the games they've lost, is because they have not been able to run the football in those games.
Well, today you can stay on top of all Razorback sports with a digital subscription to the Hogs Illustrated app. Get the most complete Razorback coverage in one location. Subscription gives you 20-plus issues to our Hogs Illustrated magazine, plus complete access to all of our content at wholehogsports.com. Monthly subscriptions begin at $17. Hogsillustrated.com/subscribe or call 479-684-5509. That's 479-684-5509 to subscribe to our website and magazine.
Now, Matt, today's Halloween.
Yeah. Go ahead.
I'm just going to put this out there for anybody. I will do this for anybody that needs it. You know, candy is not good for children. You know, it can affect their teeth, and especially the Reese's. Now, those are the worst. The Reese's are the worst for kids to have. I'm just an advocate saying they're the worst. So if anybody wants to look after their children and give the Reese's to me as a team player, I would take that on for them.
I'm putting it out there.
I'll just come pick them up. Just let me know where they are. I'm doing this as a favor to parents if you need it.
What are you dressed as today?
I should be dressed as Matthew McConaughey. Don't I look like him?
Somebody asked me what I was dressed
as. I think we're twins.
I said I'm dressed out as a father of three who had a tornado warning in the middle of the night and didn't get enough sleep.
Hard to get those babies back to sleep again when they had to be, you know, jostled out of bed.
Oh, my goodness.
Been there. Long time ago.
My goodness. It's not the waking up part is one thing. It's the getting them back to sleep when they're terrified.
Yeah.
That's another.
Yeah.
We had a tornado warning in Fayetteville overnight. About 12:30, all of our phones start going off, and you know, sometimes it's like, that's not going to happen. But then, you know, I turn the TV on, they're talking about tight rotation.
No.
And at this point, and, you know, you follow the weather enough, and, you know, it's like, hey, if it's right there, that's coming directly over my house. And
My guy Garrett Lewis. I miss him. You know, when Garrett was on.
He still does something on Facebook.
Well, when he was on, if he had the sleeves rolled up, man, you're like, okay, you better buckle it up, man. It's some bad stuff coming.
I spent 6 months working for Channel 5, and there were a couple of times where I went out, you know, and I was his cameraman, like at the Rodeo of the Ozarks. And the level of celebrity that guy had, I mean, it was like you were traveling with a rock band or something, at least locally.
Matt, I'm going to say this, and this is 1,000% true of me, okay? If I had my career to do over again, I would be a storm chaser. I think that is one of the coolest jobs. It's got, you know, all that.
It's cool when you know what you're doing. How about this, though? When you're the TV cameraman and they just say, hey, go drive out toward the storm. And you're on the air and they're like, okay, you need to go.
Get within a mile of the
storm. It was a different time. I can remember being sent out, though, one night toward Siloam Springs. And it's like, we just need you to go out there and tell us what you're seeing. Well, You know, I mean, what I'm seeing is dark clouds and lots of lightning.
I'd like to be Jim Cantore. That's the job I would love. I'd love to be that guy. And I tell people, when Jim Cantore shows up in your town, it is not a good thing. It is not a good thing.
Now, Jack, my son, who we had on the podcast last week, his dream right now is to go to the University of Oklahoma and study meteorology.
Well, that'd be
now, that could change.
Wow, but that would be awesome, Jack. If you can follow through on that, that would be fantastic.
That's what his dream is. Right now, I think we were talking about football, weren't we?
Halloween's so much more fun.
Here's a Halloween question for you. You're like if you were putting together a Halloween playlist, what song would you start with?
Thriller.
Really?
Number one, Thriller. But, you know, people are going to say Monster. In fact, I did a Halloween playlist for my spin class that I teach. But Thriller's on there. Werewolves of London's on there. Of course, Monster Mash is on there. Zombie is on there.
Some of my favorites are the ones that you may not, like, initially identify with Halloween, but you kind of step back. It's like, oh, well, you know, Smashing Pumpkins.
That's a good one. Yeah.
How about Evil Woman by the Electric Light Orchestra?
I've got that, and I've got Witchy Woman by the Eagles on there.
There you go.
Yeah,
I actually had a Halloween playlist made last year, and I don't know where it went. It was a good one, though. I promise.
Well, I've always, you know, Thriller to me, in my opinion, best video. Or MTV, what if it was MTV, I don't know, whatever it was, video, yeah. Michael Jackson, and then getting Vincent Price in there to do the laugh at the end, that to me is the number one classic Halloween song of all time.
My 4-year-old, she wanted to listen to it the other day. She can't quite say all of her letters. She, Dad, will you play Flitter by Flitter. Michael Jackson?
All right. He kind of flittered his glove from time to time.
He did.
Yeah.
Going back to football here real quick, what do you think is the key Saturday to this game?
Run game. Again, it's the Arkansas run game.
Is it that simple?
I think it is. Now, hopefully, the tight end situation will be okay Saturday. There won't be any injuries because, obviously, they are down two people there. So, a position of strength has now gone to, you know, not as strong with the depth. I think Paskey and Luke Haskin could have good games, you know, and they got to continue to look for those guys. You can't just be looking for number two Armstrong running around out there. You got to find these tight ends. I think that can be big. Arkansas is going to have to control the game, and the best way to do that is with the run game.
I got to correct you. Poska.
Poska. Not Paska? Not
nope.
Paskey?
Not
Paskey
not
played for Fayetteville a few years ago, right? Cameron Paskey was a basketball player, yeah.
Poska.
Poska.
Christine and I had this conversation yesterday about we'd been saying the name wrong. It's Poska.
I'm just glad I got Schlossnagel's name right because I butchered that one all the time. And don't ask me about the Tennessee quarterback, Blake. Don't do that.
Quarterback matchup in this game is kind of interesting. You got Jackson Dart, who obviously is very good for
Ole
Miss.
Great player.
I came out of last week feeling really good about Taylen Green. I know he was playing a terrible defense against Mississippi State, but what stood out to me was two things. Number one, the way that he distributed the ball all over. And number two, he's moving well again.
Matt, I don't remember. I didn't see, didn't see how many offensive plays Arkansas ran last week against Mississippi State. But however many it was, if it was 65 or 85, however many, one bad play by Taylen Green. One.
I'd say two.
There was
the pick, and then he was holding the ball out kind of lackadaisically on the side of his body where the defender was, and he knocked it out, and Taylen was able to fall on it.
Okay.
I think that was on a third down. It created a fourth down situation. But, yeah, I mean, it was a
– pretty clean game.
It was a cleaner game, I think, than we've seen him play to this point in the year. So, Arkansas-Ole Miss, we're going to continue to preview this tomorrow on our podcast with Ethan Westerman. We'll give our weekend predictions tomorrow. We'll also have some Arkansas-TCU basketball talk tomorrow. The Razorbacks will be in Fort Worth on Friday night to take on TCU in another exhibition game. No TV for that one, but we will have Anthony Christensen there. So you can come to our website, wholehogsports.com, and get all the coverage that you would want other than a televised feed from Arkansas and TCU on Friday night. We'll talk more about that game on tomorrow's podcast. Until then, hope you'll visit us at wholehogsports.com, and we'll see you tomorrow. Have a great day, everyone.